Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 5, of verses 1 through 6, God's indictment of Judah's individuals. God's judgment on a large group of people like a nation can be expected to due to a nation's sins. However, one may ask how God can judge even a nation if some people in it are upright and do not deserve to be punished. Of course, this concern bothered Abraham when God told him about his coming judgment on Sodom, where Abraham's nephew Lot and his family lived. And we'll touch on that later in the lesson itself. That's in Genesis chapter 18, 20 to 24. He mentioned to the Lord, when the Lord told him that he was going to check out Sodom and see whether it was righteous or not. And of course, Abraham knew it was a very wicked place, and he was concerned Lot lived there. So he started to barter with God. Well, if you find 50 people there, will you destroy the city? God said, I won't. So he brings them down. Will you find 40? And so if he gets all the way down to 10. And God says, I won't destroy the city for 10. And then God stops bartering, as they say in Africa, chinikin, and he just leaves on and goes off. But demonstrates the grace of God. God let Abraham barter him down. Normally when you barter, you start, somebody starts at the high end, and the other person starts at the low end. Okay, the buyer starts at the low end, and the seller starts at the high end, and you come this way. But God let Abraham bring him all the way down. It's very interesting. It showed the grace of God in Genesis. Anyway, God judges individuals, even in a nation's judgment. And Jeremiah 5, 1 to 6 explains this for our insight. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 5, verses 1 through 6. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executes judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are the poor people. They are foolish, but they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, that would be the leaders, and I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out of the city shall be torn to pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are vast or great. God's indictment of individuals at the grassroots level in Jerusalem society. In seeking to show mercy on wicked Jerusalem, God ordered the prophet Jeremiah to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem to look around and consider to see if he could find even one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth. If he were to find just one man in this category, God promised, I will forgive this city. Now this is an amazing thing. If God finds just one man who is a man who is honest and who deals and seeks the truth, just one man, he'll forgive the whole city. Now, that's much greater grace than God showed Sodom. In Sodom, God agreed that he would destroy the city if there were 10 righteous people in it. But what he did, he sent his angels to get Lot and his daughters and wife and so forth out of the city before he destroyed it. And so they actually ended up getting four of them. The sons-in-law thought that Lot was just joking. And so they stayed in the city, and of course they lost their lives. That would be the husbands of these daughters, but of his daughters. But it's interesting, there were four people. But in this situation, God says, you find me just one man who's honest and who is seeking the truth, I'll forgive the whole city. That's pretty gracious. Well, this was a gracious offer and more gracious than God gave to Sodom in Genesis 18:23, where Abraham had bartered with the Lord to save Sodom. And in fact, it was 10 times greater, because he had bartered God down to the point of, if there were 10 people who were righteous, God would save the city. But this offer for Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day was 10 times greater. Just one man. Just show me one man. Jeremiah heeded God's offer. He traversed through the city streets, but finally came to the conclusion that even though the people took oaths to assert that they were honest and saying, "As surely as the Lord lives," they still swore falsely. In other words, when the people would claim to or make an attempt to be honest, they couldn't be honest. They would swear falsely, because they couldn't help but take advantage of the person by getting the other person to believe that they were saying the truth on a certain issue by swearing in the Lord's name, and then they would take advantage of them. So Jerusalem was in a worse shape than Sodom was in Lot's era, for the Lord had rescued relatively righteous Lot and his daughters from the city before destroying it. You know, it's interesting. I think it's in Peter where Peter refers to Lot as how his righteous soul was vexed. He wasn't really all that righteous, and his daughters weren't all that righteous because of the incest that followed. But compared to Sodom, they were relatively righteous. But Jerusalem is in a worse shape. You couldn't find one person who was actually honest and who meant to go after truth, or who really sought the truth, who at least showed an interest in the truth. Well, knowing that the Lord looked for truth in his people, Jeremiah recalled how God had already struck them with preliminary warning signs of trials, but they'd felt no pain. He'd crushed them in these trials, but they had refused correction, making their faces harder than stone and stubbornly refusing to repent. That's why in verse 3 he says, "Thou hast stricken them, but they've not grieved. You have consumed them, but they've refused to receive correction." God had already lowered some level of judgment and discipline on the people, but their hearts were hardened, their faces were hardened. They could care less about paying attention to God's discipline. Well, God then had an indictment of individuals among the leaders of Jerusalem. Jeremiah himself, you have an emphatic pronoun here, says, "I myself concluded," this isn't God's giving him the recommendation, "I myself concluded that since the common people and the poor people were foolish," and the word for foolish is a little unusual, it's ya'al, and it means active insensibility and opposition to the known righteous behavior that God desires. The people knew what God wanted, but they just didn't obey it. You know, it's a form of rebellion. Okay. Jeremiah thought that he would go to Jerusalem's leaders and speak to them, that surely he would find them, the leaders of all people, knowing the way of the Lord and the requirements of their God. You know, you would think that you would find somebody responsible. It's kind of like saying, "I'm going to look in Congress and see if I can find a statesman there, or in the White House, or I'm going to look in the State House somewhere, in the state legislature, and see if I can find somebody who's responsible." However, Jeremiah found the spiritual state of the city leaders was worse than that of the common people. There's an introductory expression in verse 5, and it translates, "Howbeit," and it's the Hebrew word ak. It's kind of a powerful word. When you say ak, it means, oops, nope, no way. In contrast to the previous idea that the leaders would be expected to be aligned to God's way and requirements, they, hema, in other words, the introduction starts, ak, hema. Hema is an emphatic pronoun, they, the leaders, were worse than the common people in having broken off the yoke and torn the bonds of God, not just actively being insensible to and opposing his known righteousness, as had the people. The people had known the way of the Lord, but they just hadn't done it. The leaders said, "Here, this is what you can do to the law, chuck it." They very actively and violently threw it off. They were worse than the people. I mean, these leaders just didn't have anything to do with it. I've heard of situations where there are professors. In fact, someone was telling me this. There was a professor at a university in Rhode Island, and there was a young woman who had started to attend our church, and she was in this class. And the professor wrote a Bible verse up on the board. This is a secular university. And then he proceeded to mock the verse in front of the class. And this so offended this Christian girl, she had to get up and walk out of the class. And she's decided not to go back to that university, thankfully. She's going somewhere else. But that's exactly the way the leaders were. They were taking the law and say, you can shuck it. I don't want it. And they were very strongly doing so. And the leaders had all together, you have a unique word, yao dao. And that means all of them together had aggressively broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds of accountability to God and His Word. This isn't just one or two leaders. The whole group were violently opposed to God. Well, upon the grounds of such an apostate condition, you have the introductory words, alken, which means upon the grounds of this. Jeremiah predicted that figuratively, a lion from the forest would attack them. A wolf from the desert would ravage them, and a leopard would lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces anyone who ventured outside the city. For their rebellion was great, and their turning backs, or their apostasies, the Hebrew word meshubah, were numerous or vast. So God's fierce wrath would surely fall on such rebellious people. Now it's interesting, the first part of this section that we covered tonight, this is the Lord telling Jeremiah, go through the city if you can find one person. So Jeremiah doesn't find one person. Then Jeremiah on his own says, well, let me check with the leaders. So he checks with the leaders. And Jeremiah himself is convinced, you know what? God has to destroy violently these people because they're in terrible rebellion. So Jeremiah himself was appalled at what he found in the city. So when God had Jeremiah go up and down Jerusalem's streets in search of even one person, who dealt honestly and who sought the truth, that he might graciously forgive the whole city, he found only those who still swore falsely, even if they cited God's name in taking their oaths. When Jeremiah thought he might find some righteousness in Jerusalem's leaders, only to discover that they were worse and altogether rebelliously thrusting off God's law and his ways, he realized that God's judgment had to fall severely for Jerusalem's numerous apostasies. Now remember, these are Jeremiah's own people. These are people that he was working with, worked with them for 40 years. And even Jeremiah of his own people said, God's got to destroy them, and he's got to destroy them violently because they're in complete rebellion against God, in strong rebellion against him. So, huge applications here. Number one, may we recall that God mercifully spares the righteous individual, even if the group turns to sin. We have it here. The Lord says, go through the city, go up and down. If you can find just one man who's at least trying to be interested in the truth and who speaks honestly to the best of his ability, I'll spare the whole city. Can't find him. God is certainly a very, very compassionate God. He doesn't enjoy judgment at all. And that's the first thing to keep in mind. The second thing is, may we make sure that we personally heed the Lord, even if we function in a group that is entirely wrong. There's a tremendous pressure nowadays, a peer pressure, and this occurs in Christian circles. It occurs amongst even Christian scholars to kind of go along with the peer group. There's a lot of pressure in a lot of universities to adopt theistic evolution. And a lot of this is being funded by the John Templeton group, which is a secular group, but there are various, even Christian colleges, where they're pushing this. And I guess they're pushing this to the tune of millions of dollars. They're trying to push this on these Bible colleges and whatnot. We have to make sure that we personally heed the Lord, because if we personally heed the Lord will encourage us and he will bless, he will help. We need to make sure that we don't go along with the group. If the group is doing that which is wrong, make sure we don't go with the group. Do that which is right, because God is very just and he's very impartial, and he will deal with violations of his word. So we've got to obey the word. So personally, heed the Lord, even if we function in a group that is entirely wrong.